If you were a student at a medical school, you would spend thousands of hours studying a variety of different concepts that hopefully would help you to be able to heal people and save physical lives in the future. While you're a student here at Concordia Seminary, in whichever of our programs it might be, you either have or will spend thousands of hours studying a variety of different, extremely important concepts. These concepts are important because they are biblical. These concepts are important because they communicate the gospel, God's gracious message of rescue to us fragile, sin-filled humans. They are concepts that, when spoken, proclaimed, and written, the Holy Spirit actually uses them to heal people and save people, not just in this earthly life, but for eternity. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul compresses about 20 of these most important concepts into that one chapter. Here's the list: justification, law, righteousness, crucifixion, the Spirit, faith, works, flesh, hearing of faith, Abraham's faith, Scripture, Gentiles, gospel, curse, redemption, covenant, offspring, inheritance, intermediary, and promises. This is a smorgasbord of interrelated, important concepts that we study while here at Concordia Seminary. But now 20 is a few too many for a 7-minute sermon, so I'll just focus on one here this morning. Promise. Epangelia in Greek. Promesa in Spanish, in Espanol. Now, unfortunately, the term promise, concept promise, often has negative connotations for us here in our American context, because when we hear promise, we often tie it to other concepts like politics or broken. We live in a world where too many promises are made and not enough promises are kept. But let's set aside those broken promises for a few minutes and just focus on kept promises, especially those promises kept by our God, who, as Paul says in Titus chapter 1, never lies. And he promised the hope of eternal life from before the beginning of time. Doctors Kolb and Aaron, in their book, The Genius of Luther's Theology, assert that this biblical concept of promise is central to the Reformation understanding of the gospel. Whereas good news is the etymological translation of gospel, good news runs a risk for us of being viewed as just information about past events in Jesus' life. But biography, as important as that is, biography in and of itself is not really gospel. The term promise brings out the relational and personal character of God, that in Jesus' death and resurrection, he is doing something for you, for me, to us, for us. A promise is a pledge and a guarantee of something in the future, but it's also a creative word that takes immediate effect. A gospel promise by God creates a new reality, that we are already made righteous, that we are already God's children, that we have already inherited eternal life through Christ's resurrection. God made promises to Abraham, and aside from all earthly evidence, Abraham trusted in those promises. Those promises were ultimately fulfilled in his offspring, our Lord Jesus. In his word, God continues to make promises to me and to you. All he calls us to do is to trust in his promises. Many of you have probably heard the old story of the destitute man who is visited by a lawyer, and he doesn't really trust the lawyer when he first sees him. But the lawyer comes and tells him of an uncle that he didn't know, who has passed away and left him his entire $5 million inheritance, his estate. The lawyer says all he has to do is go and sign some papers and take this check to the bank in order to receive the full inheritance. The destitute man didn't do anything to receive the inheritance his uncle promised to him. He had already received it, but he only had to trust in the promise to receive its benefits. What earthly promises have been kept for you? A special promise that your parents made to you? The promises your wife or your husband made when you became engaged and then married? How have kept promises changed your life, both now and in the future? How more so have God's promises in your life changed your present and your future? Yesterday, I attended a funeral, actually my vicarage supervisor's funeral in Litchfield, Illinois. Pastor Larry Brackenhoff was only 66 years old, but he'd been battling brain cancer for the last 4 years. And for the last couple of months, it had become apparent that he was losing the battle. It was a little surreal for me to go to a funeral for the man who I used to call up and ask for advice about funeral sermons. It was a privilege to visit Larry a week before he died, when he was still lucid, and to share God's promises with him at that time, especially the promises of Romans 8, that Christ will never leave us. I was encouraged to learn that one of our current vicars, Andy Schlun, who serves a neighboring congregation, had been visiting with Larry during the past months, and that Andy actually told me that he had been growing in his faith, in seeing the faith of Larry. For the past several years, Larry's Caring Bridge web posts rarely told us about his physical health, but always told us about what Scripture promises he was reading and meditating upon, and how Larry was trusting in those promises and was using every moment that God still gave him on this earth to share those promises with others. And at his funeral, which he had designed before he had cancer, he focused us all on the sword of the Spirit, that is, the Word of God, the promises of God, complete with 6 real swords that his sons and sons-in-law all carried in for the funeral. Some of you are just beginning your studies here at Concordia Seminary. Others of you are in the middle of those thousands of hours, and some of you are coming to the end of your formal studies here. Wherever you are, I hope that the Spirit continues to strengthen you in your trust in God's eternal promises and empowers you, like Larry, to tell others of those promises for them. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.